Daf is Pesachim Daf Lamed Dalet. We left off on the top of Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. The shir today is sponsored as Zechus Refuah Shleima for Sarah Rivka Bas Hinda Bela. She should have a Refuah Shleima Bekarov. We are holding again at the top of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. We are in the middle of a discussion. We're just going to, two things we're going to do today is one is finish off this discussion about Shema Asilu De Takala. Are we ever concerned that by leaving things around to use as firewood that you're not allowed to eat, that you might come to eat them? Do we worry about Asilu De Takala? And then the entire rest of the daf, really pretty much the entire daf today, revolves around three approaches to explaining a Mishnah, Maseches Trumos, which says that if you take Truma Tameya and you plant it in the ground, the halacha is that it loses its tuma, but you're still not allowed to eat it. That it loses its tuma status, but it remains asr to eat, like truma tumeya would be asr to eat. So three approaches to why that would be the case, why we'd be mechalik between the tuma status versus the heter iser achila status of the food. But again, we left off yesterday, we were discussing if you have wheat of truma tumeya, the Amoraim have machlokas, whether it could be used as firewood by first boiling it and making it disgusting to eat, or if we're still concerned that if you keep it around to use it as fuel for a fire, that you might come to eat it somewhere along the way. Shema asilidei takala. So we had this comment of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was one that said bishli kasa umi ista, that it was where it was boiled and it had become disgusting, so then you don't have to worry that you might come to eat it. So the two lines from the top, v'hecha itmar Rav Ashi, what was the original context of this statement of Rav Ashi? Because we said, oh, it's just like Rav Ashi said elsewhere about boiling wheat. So what was the original context of Rav Ashi's statement about boiling wheat? Ahada Amar Rav Yavin bar Ravacha Amar Rav Yitzchak was in the context of the following statement of Amoraim, that Abishol Gavol Shal Beis Rebbe Haya, Gavol Shal Beis Rebbe Haya. Abishol was the kneader of dough for the house of Rebbe, meaning it was a trusted job because he had to make sure that the dough wasn't Tamei. I mean, Rebbe was Ochel Chulin Betara, so it wasn't Stam that he was a baker. Nothing wrong with being a baker, but it was you had to have a baker who you trusted to know all of the dinim of Tumen Tara. So Abishol was the Gabal Shalbeis Rebbe. That was his job. And when he boiled up the water to make the bread, he used firewood for the fire under the water of wheat of Truma Tameya. The wheat of Truma Tameya was the firewood to make the fire, to boil the water, to bake the bread. Lalush behen isa betara. In order to knead a dough, betara for Rebbe. It had to be done betara. Rebbe was not a kohen, but it had to be done betara because Rebbe was ochel chulin betara. If you look at Rashi, lalush behen isa betara kolomar. Afal pisha Rebbe ochel chulin betara, haya lo chayish dilma nagu hani chitim tmeim bi isa. The batlu betara socha v'lo metamu. He was not worried that this firewood that he was using, which was tameh, might come to touch the dough and would be metame the dough, and that would be a problem. He wasn't worried about that. He made a fire out of this wood. So amai. So ask the Gemara, why nechash del masibul de takala? How could he keep this around to use it as firewood? Shouldn't he worry that maybe you're going to come to eat it? That it's masibul de takala, that you have this truma tameya, these wheat, these pieces of wheat of truma tameya that a person might come to eat. So Ravashi bishlikasu misasa. That's where Ravashi originally said this din of shlikasu. That it was boiled up and it was therefore made inedible, so there's no concern that you might come to eat it. Now this water that he was heating up, was this litzorech a kohen or was this litzorech a Yisrael? So again, Rashi says they would buy the wheat from Kohanim for very cheap, and the Gemara's raya is that even though Rebbe was ochel chulin betara, we're not worried that maybe the wheat is going to be metameh the food that you're making, because the chitim is nisbatel mitaras ochel and it's not metameh. Tosus, however, writes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that they were making this not for Rebbe alone, but for the Kohanim Shel Beis Rebbe. They were making this dough because the Yisraeli says is allowed to be nena from Truma only if it's not a Hana'a Shel Kilui. A Yisraeli Rebbe would not have been allowed to use Truma to make the fire, to bake his dough, he would not have been allowed to do that, because although truma is not asr bahana, there are two types of hana one gets from something. One type of hana is where you use it up. You get the hana, and now it's gone, because you got that hana. That's called hana shel kilui. You use something as firewood, now it's gone, it's burnt, it's destroyed. Another type of hana, let's say I'm getting hana from this chair right now, but the chair is not destroyed. After I get up, hopefully the chair will still be intact. So that's not the hana shel kilui, that's an ongoing hana. So yes, truma's mutar b'hana for Yisrael, says Tosfos, but only when it's not a hana shel kilui. For Rebbe alone, for the Yisraelim of the base Rebbe, to be nehene from the truma in such a way with hana shel kilui, that is not going to be permissible. That would be aser. How does he know it's aser? He says it's a Mishnah Maseches Trumos. The Mishnah in the 11th parak of Maseches Trumos tells us that if a Kohen is socher a parah mi Yisrael, he rents a cow from a Yisrael, he cannot feed it karshine truma. Why? Because he's feeding the Yisrael's cow truma. So the Yisrael is getting hana'ah from truma. It's hana, and it's hana shel kilui. He says also the Mishnah in truma says that we're madlikim v'batei kenesios v'batei midrashos b'shemen shel truma b'rishus kohen. That if there's a kohen in shul, then you're allowed to use shemen shel truma to light up the shul, because ner le'echad ner le'meya. Anyway, the candle's being used by the kohen, so you're not going to keep all the Yisraelim out of the room. Then it's not called that the Yisrael is getting any hana from it. But otherwise, if there's no kohen in shul, then you're not allowed to use Shemen Shel Truma to light up the shul. Why? Because apparently it's Hanah Shel Kiloi. The Achronim have an interesting discussion about this. Rishonim, really, Chidush Rabbein and David, he's bothered. What does that mean? Ner le'echad, ner le'meya. Why does that help over here? If it's an Isser Hana'a for the Yisrael, so at the end of the day, the Yisrael is getting Hana'a from the Ner. Why do I... Ner le'echad, ner le'meya is a concept that it's not... that you don't need more for the Yisrael than you would have needed just for the Kohen. The lights are on in here, whether there's one person in here or 100 people in here, everyone's getting the same Hana'a from the light. But as in terms of the Isser Gavra to get Hana'a from Truma, the Yisrael is still getting Hana'a from Truma.
But
so
if
we,
the Kohen heats his house, somebody else can walk in there.
Why is Yisrael allowed to walk in there? So what you have to say is you have to redefine what the Isser of Hana'ah of Yisrael is. That the Isser is that there can't be Kilui B'Shvil Yisrael. That you can't destroy the Truma, you can't ruin the Truma, or make the Truma go away for the sake of Yisrael. If you're doing it for the sake of a Kohen, it's not an Isser Hana'ah per se. It's an Isser of Kilui B'Shvil Yisrael. Tosfos then quotes the sheet of the Ri that the reason Truma Tameya is Mutar B'Hana'ah Shel Kilui only for a Kohen is because Gemara Darshan's in Shabbos Mishmeres Trumosai B'Shtei Trumos HaKasa Medaber says it in the plural Trumosai, both Truma Torah and Truma Tameya. We compare Truma Torah and Truma Tameya. So how do we compare them? Just like Truma Tahora is Mutar B'Achila only for a Kohen, so Truma Tameya, which you have to burn, is only Mutar B'Hana'ah through the burning for a Kohen, but not for Yisrael. So that's the Shita of Tosla. Seems to be against Rashi. Pnei Yeshua points out, from Rashi, sounds like Rebbe was Ochel Chulin Betara. They made this dough dafka for Rebbe and Bnei Beso for Yisraelim. So it sounds like it's mutter for Yisrael to get Hana'a Shel Kilui from Truma. But Tosla clearly disagrees based on those Mishnayos and Maseches in Maseches Trumos. The other just historical point over here is, when did Rebbe live? Rebbe was La'ach and he was still Ochel Chulin Betara. Now, in order to be Ochel Chulin Betara, you have to have the ability to be Betara oneself from Tumas Meis. How is one Betara oneself from Tumas Meis? Efer Paraduma. So the Chuvas Harid points out that it must be that they still had the Efer Paraduma after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that they were still doing, even after the Churban Abayis. Otherwise, it wouldn't have made sense that they were able to be Ochel Truma Betara. Okay, but that's the end of yesterday's discussion. Now we begin a new discussion. This discussion seems to have absolutely nothing to do with Maseches Pesachim. The reason we're bringing it in, it's a whole discussion about Truma. The reason we're bringing it in is because at the end of this discussion, Rabbi Yochanan's comment yesterday about the grapes, about how to crush grapes, Betara, tahara is going to play a role in shedding light on this issue, on this discussion of a Mishnah Maseches Trumos. But this is really a Trumos related discussion, not a Pesachim related discussion. Abaye Baravin, Rabbi Chananya Baravin, and then tomorrow we get into real Pesachim. We get into the five grains that you can make matzah out of. So we go from Trumos to as Pesachim as you can get. So Abaye Baravin, Rabbi Chananya Baravin, Tana Trumos Be Rabba. Abaye Baravin and Rabbi Chananya Baravin learned Maseches Trumos by Rabba. So Pagubahu Rava Bar Masna, Rava Bar Masna ran into them. Amrulu, Maya Misu Betrumos to Be Mar. So he said, what did you say? What did you learn in the Shir today about Trumos? So Amrulu, my Kashalach. Why are you asking what we learned in Trumos? No one's so interested in Trumos. It must be that you have a Kasha, that you're bothered by something. So what's your Kasha? We'll see if we can answer it. Amrulu, he said, okay, here's my Kasha. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah in Maseches Trumos, in the ninth parak of Maseches Trumos, Shasile Trumos Shenitmu, Vishaslan, Taur Milatame Vasun Milechal. If you have plantings of truma that became tame, and then you replanted them in the ground, now they lose their tuma, now they're tahar, but you're not allowed to eat them. So he says, it doesn't make sense. If they are tahar, then why shouldn't you be allowed to eat them if it's completely tahar? Now, Tosus asks a different question. He says, there's another problem over here, that you're going to replant them in the ground. Tosus asks, in Gemara Shabbos and Daf Yud Zayin, the reason we're gozer that Gidule Truma have the status of Truma and do not have the status of Chulin, that's a Gzerim Midrabanan. If you plant Truma and something grows from it, so it still has the status of Truma, doesn't have the status of Chulin, is because if the Gidulin were Chulin, we'd have to be Choshesh that people would keep their Truma around in order to plant them, and that's going to be Asili De Takala. You don't want to keep Truma around too long. Just eat the Truma and take care of it. To leave it around, to plant it, that was a concern. So Frek tells us, if you're going to be mitaher the giduli truma from being tamei, you should still be choshesh that a person is going to keep it around in order to be zoreya, to be mitaher it, that a person is going to have truma tamea, and they're going to plant it in the ground, and they're going to in order to be mitaher it. So Tosa says, no, you don't have to worry about that, because it's such a minor benefit to take it from truma tamea to still being truma, but it's just going to be tahora. Now, to turn it from truma to chul, then that's a significant benefit. That we would have to be worried about. But we're not so worried that someone's going to leave it around just to plant it in the ground. So that's what the Balei HaTosfos say. You have to come up and figure out exactly why. Why is that such a significant difference in the level of benefit? Okay, but let's leave that aside for now. So the Gemara wants to know, and the whole daf is all about this one question, why is it that when you have Tamei Truma that you've replanted, it loses its Tuma, but it's still Asr Ba'Achila? So three basic approaches. Approach number one, Amrulay, they responded on the spot, Hachi Amar Rabba, this is what Rabba said in Shir. May Asurin, Asurin Lazarin. When we say that it's Asr Ba'Achila, it does not mean that no one's allowed to eat it. It means if someone's not a Kohen, they're not allowed to eat it. Meaning it still has a status of Truma. Umay Kamashmon, so what's the great Chiddush of that statement then, of this Mishnah? What's the great Chiddush? That Kidule Truma Truma. The great Chiddush is that the growth of seeds that are Truma are also Truma. Well, that can't be the great Chiddush, because Tanina, we already have a Beferish of Mishnah like that in the ninth parak of Maseches Trumos, that Gidule Truma Truma. So, Chitema, maybe you're going to say, no, Gidule Gidulin. The Chiddush is that over here, we're not just talking about Gidule Truma. We're talking about second generation Gidule Truma. The Gidulin of Gidule Truma. You plant Truma in the ground, something grew from that, then you planted that in the ground, something grew from that. And that's the Chiddush. You're not allowed to eat that. And we're saying that as long as the original seed that you planted in the ground the second time is still there, is still intact, so the gidulin are going to be aser. Well, Hanami Tanina, that's also Beferish of Mishnah. We know that as well, because it says in the Beferish in the Mishnah, also in the ninth parak of Maseches Trumos, that a tevel gidul of mutarin bedavar shezaru kala. That tevel, the gidulim of tevel are mutar if the seed is gone. Avul bedavar shein zaru kala afilu gidul gidulin asurim ba'chi. But something that's ain zaru kala, that the seed remains intact in the ground, even the gidule gidulin is going to be asr ba'achila. So that can't be the chiddush. So approach number one to explain what's going on in this Mishnah, that it's only talking about a zar, and that a kohen really is allowed to eat, it's only a zar. zara that's not allowed to eat it is rejected, because there's no chiddush in telling me that a zara is allowed to eat it, is not allowed to eat it. It's gidule truma. We know that there's a problem of gidule truma. Ishtiku. So he kept quiet. So they kept quiet. Meaning, what happened? It was the one rabbi met the two rabbis who were just learning trumas, and he says, "What did you learn?" So they thought they knew it all. They just came out of the shir and trumas. They gave this answer. Now he shlugged up their answer, and he said, "No, this is why I had a kasha. I didn't think your answer was a correct answer." So Amrulay, they said back to him, "Midi shmi alach baha? Can you do better? Do you have something else that maybe you could explain to us where this comes from?" So Amrulahu, so he said as follows, and this is the second approach. Hachi Amar of Sheshes, and this one's going to take us a while until we get to the third approach, but this is the second approach. Hachi Amar of Sheshes, my asurin, when we say that it's asur to eat it, asurin the kohanim, it doesn't just mean asur for a zar. It means it's asur even for kohanim to eat it. So what is this? This is truma tahora. It's not tame anymore. And normally, truma tahora, there's a mitzvah for a kohen to eat truma tahora. But we're saying, no, not only not a mitzvah, it's asur for a kohen to eat it. Why? Because it became possible with Hesach Hadas. Part of the din of Mishmeres Trumasi is that the Truma always needs to be guarded. As soon as you stop paying attention to the Truma, so it becomes possible. Presumably, once it was planted in the ground, so he's not going to sit there watching a plant grow, there was a Hesach Hadas, that at some point it wasn't guarded properly. So how do we understand this Psul of Hesach Hadas? Is Hesach Hadas, when you stop paying attention to it, is it automatically problematic? What if I know for sure, 100%, it did not become Tame? So would Heschadas still be a problem? But how would I know for sure it didn't become Tamei? It's Mechuba Lekarka, can't be Tamei. I replanted it in the ground. There's no way to make it Tamei. So would Heschadas still be a problem? Is Heschadas a concern that since I wasn't paying attention, maybe it became Tamei? Or is it a Psul Aguf, its own separate Psul? So if you say it's a Psul Aguf, so I understand what the problem is. I wasn't paying attention to it. I know it's not Tamei, but I wasn't paying attention to it, and that itself is the Psul. Elmaniam Heschadas Psul Tumahavi, Michael Memar. But if you say that Heschadas is a Psul Tumah, so then what's the problem over here? It was planted in the ground, it can't become Tamei. It's mechuba lekarka. The Itmar, where do we have this discussion? Hesach Hadas, Rabbi Yochanan psul tuma havi. Rabbi Shimon Lakish psul aguf havi. Rabbi Yochanan says it's psul tuma. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says it's a psul haguf. Now, whatever this psul is it a psul daraisa or is it a psul darabanan? The Gemara in Becharos learns the psul of Hesach Hadas from the pasuk of Mishmeres Trumasai, that you have to be shomer from a Hesach Hadas, and that's how Rashi quotes over here. Hesach Hadas. So Sfasema says lechora, it seems that this Hesach Hadas is only psul drabanan, because where do you see in the pasuk Mishmeres Trumosai that it's ma'akev b'di'evet? It just says that you have to guard the truma. Where do we see that it would ruin the truma? So it must be that it's only a din midrabanan. But the Sfasemis is bothered by that, because this would be the Chum being oker dov minator bekum ba'asei. I mean, what are the Chum saying? The Chum are saying take truma that's really tahar, that you have a mitzvah to eat, and burn it. That's Nisa Daraisa. You're not allowed to burn Truma Tahora that's mutter to eat. So the fact that they're telling you to burn it, it seems to be Okadav Minatara Bikum Asay, yeah?
Burn it or just can't eat it?
Oh, so if you can't eat, you can't keep it around, because then it's going to be Asil De Takala. So you got to get rid of it. You have to destroy it. So if the Hesach Hadas is a Psul, so again, if it's a psul to Rabbanan, it's somewhat troubling. So the Sfasemis isn't sure what to do with that. Also, Tosfos raises the question that the Mishnah Maseches Truma says that if you have a chavis shel truma that has a safek tuma, nolad ba safek tuma. So according to Rabbi Yoshua, if it was put in a makom amutzna, if it was in a protected place, so yanichane ba makom atorfi, can't be metameh it, but leave it out in a place where it's at risk of becoming tameh. And we discussed this at the end of the first parak when we were discussing other chaninas ganakwadim sugyas, that only to be goreim tuma in that indirect way is mutter, but to be metami piyadayim is aser. So says Tosos, why can't you just burn it as soon as you masiach das from it? It's a psula guf. If you hold hezek das as a psula guf, can't you just burn it right away? You're masiach das from it. So that alone should be enough. You shouldn't have to wait for it to actually become tame. So the achronim quote from the Yerushalmi that there's no hezek das over there. You're still protecting it, that it shouldn't touch other taharos, meaning they're still guarding it from something, even though it has a suffik tumma, which may have happened while you were guarding it. And some sort of suffik tumma arose, it doesn't mean that there was a lack of guarding. So it could be that there was no hesek hadas, that whole discussion has nothing to do with hesek hadas. So anyway, so this is the machlokas: is it a psul aguf, or is it a psul that we're afraid that maybe it became tame? Rabbi Yochanan psul tumma havi shemiyavel. Rabbi Yochanan says it's a psul tuma, and therefore if Elio and Avi were to come and tell us that it's tahar, we would listen to him. So the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva, oh, you see from here that you're allowed to trust Elio and Avi, that Rabbi Yochanan holds, is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso, he claims, that Rabbi Yochanan holds in Shas, that we don't hold of the concept of lo b'shamayim, that you're allowed to rely on a Navi to tell you what the halacha is. The other way to understand this is that Elio, you had your suffix about whether it became tameh or not. You don't know whether it contracted tameh, so it's a metzias. So Eliyahu Navi is going to say, "Oh, you want to know if a sheretz ever touched it? No, a sheretz never touched it." Eliyahu Navi could be mevar metzias for us. So anyway, so Rabbi Shimon Lakish or Psul Aguf Avi. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, "No, it's a psul aguf. Hesek hadas itself is its own psul. Shem yav Eliyahu Yitarena ain't shomano. Eliyahu Navi can come and tell us from today till tomorrow how tahar it is. It doesn't matter. We're not worried about tuma. We're worried about hesek hadas. It's its own separate psul." So Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Rabbi Shmuel Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Brok Omer Lul Katan Haya Ben Kevesh Lamizbeach Bimar Rava Shal Kevesh. There used to be a small gap between the ramp and the mizbeach on the western side of the ramp. Sheshama Yuzorkin Psulei Chatos Haof V'Tuubar Turasan. They used to throw the Psulei Chatos Haof in that little gap, and they would wait for Ibur Tzura till it lost its basic look to it, v'yotz in the base of Shefa, and then they would burn it. They'd leave it there till there was Ibur Tzura. So what does Ibur Tzura mean? So Pashas, you would think it means you wait till it spoils, till it doesn't look like meat anymore. Rashi says, no, that's not what it means, and tells us throughout Shas, what does it mean? It means a psul lina. You wait till the next day. Once it's the next day, so that's called that it doesn't look like meat anymore, even though it does look like meat, but it doesn't look like fresh meat anymore. By the next day, you wait for a psul lina, and then you could burn it. So says Rabbi Yochanan Teresh Lakish, Iyam bishlam a psul tumahavi mishum hachi bayi ibur tzura shami yavel yavi tarena. If you hold that it's a psul tuma, so I understand very well why you need ibur tzura. You need to make sure that it becomes actually puzzle by leaving it overnight, because otherwise you don't want to burn it, because maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will tell us that it was really tar the whole time. Eliyamru psul aguf, but if it's psul aguf in the first place, lamali ibur tzura, why do you need ibur tzura? It's already puzzle. Nothing Eliyahu can say is going to change that. Vatnan zaklal, isn't the rule as follows in the Mishnah? Kol she psul begufo yisarif miyad. Whenever you have a psul aguf, you burn it right away. Bedam ubebailim, if the psul is not in the guf of the meat itself, but the psul is in the dam of the karban, the psul is in the bailim of the karban, but the meat itself is perfectly fine, then to ubar tzuras and v'yos on the base of srefa. Then you wait for ibar tzura and you burn it. So this is a rayalich ora, that this psul is not a psul aguf, it's a psul tuma, and that's why we require ibar tzura. We need to wait for the next day. Amalei haitana tana debe rabba baravuhu damra filu pigul ton ibar tzura. He says, now this Tana is the Tana de Rab Baravua, who holds that even pigle, even something that's a psul aguf, is still going to require ibur tzura, meaning the rule that you just told me from the Mishnah is not agreed upon by all Tanaim. There is another Shita that even when you have something that's a psul aguf, it's still going to require ibur tzura. Let's just finish up this whole thought, and then we'll go back to discuss. So, Eisve nitma oshe nifsal abasar oshe yatsu chutz l'klaim, if the basar became tame or became puzzle, or went outside of the curtains, outside of the area where the kachem kachem is allowed to be eaten. It's only allowed to be eaten in the azara. Kachem kalim can be eaten in the chalayir, but kachem kachem can only be eaten in the azara. Rabbi Lazar Omer Yizrok. Rabbi Lazar says you can still be zorik the dam. Rabbi Shua Omer lo Yizrok. Rabbi Shua says no. Once this psul happened, if there's you can't eat the basar anymore. And Rabbi Shua holds im ein basar ein dam. If there's no basar a karban that could be eaten anymore, the basar has been ruined. It's already become possible, so then the dam is no good. You can't be zorik the dam either. But umod Rabbi Yeshua, she im zarak hurtza. But Rabbi Shua's mother, that if you did do a Zrika Sadam, even though you weren't supposed to, if you did, still hurtza. It still works. It's still a ritzoy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It still works for as a proper kapara, as a karban. So my nifsal, what kind of psul are we talking about that happened over here where Rabbi Shua says not to throw the dam, but if you do, it's still going to work? Lav behesachadas? Aren't we talking about a psul of hesachadas? Meaning, what did we say? What happened to the meat of this karban? It was either nitma or nifsal or went outside the klayim. Now nitma, we know what nitma means. It became tameh. We know what chutz l'klayim means. It means it went beyond a certain location. But the very vague terminology nifsal. What kind of psul? So it must be which psul hasn't already been mentioned. It must be that we're talking about the psul of hesachadas. And still we say that Rabbi Yeshua holds you should not be zorik, but if you are zorik, it's hurtza. Siyam b'shlam psulei tuma havi. So if hesachadas is a psul tuma, haynu d'mishkach sud m'ratzitzitz. If hesachadas is itself a psul tuma, so I understand why there's ritzoy, why when you're zorik it works, because the tzitz is maratza for psulei tuma. The kohen gadol wearing the tzitz helps for psulei tuma. But eliyam psula guf havi. But if there's its own separate psul called hesachadas and has nothing to do with tumah, it's its own independent psul called hesachadas. Where do we ever find that the tzitz is meratza for that psul? Amai hurtza, the tzitz is only meratza for psulei tumah. It's not meratza for other psulim. So says Gemara, no, we misunderstood the word nifsal. Who says it has anything to do with hesachadas? My nifsal, nifsal b'tevul yom. When it says nifsal, it means it became puzzled by a tevul yom who's still somewhat tameh touching it. Ihachi haynu tameh. But wait a second, we already said that it tameh on the list. We said one of three things happened to it. It either became tameh, or pasul, or chutz l'klayim. Well, if pasul just means tameh, so then the first tameh and tameh, there are two things on the list that are identical to each other. Says Gemara, no, trei gavni tameh, there are two levels of tumah. These aren't identical. There's one level of tumah, level one tumah, and then there's tevul yom level of tumah, a different level of tumah, gets its own category. So now let's go back to discuss a couple of things over here. First of all, this concept of is it a psul haguf, or is it a psul because of a chashash that maybe something happened? We have a very similar discussion in Hilchos Nida. The halacha is that a woman has to count shiva nekiyim. She has to count seven clean days after she sees dam and she's no longer seeing dam. Now, what if at some point she has the Torah says the safrala? She has to count. She has to do an actual counting of the 7 days. What if at some point during those 7 days she has a hesachadas? She stops cheshbening them as days of Shiva Nekiyim. Now she knows she's not Tameh, but she had a Hesachadas. So we have the same discussion, the Achronim have the same debate as this Machlokas Amorayim about Hesachadas by Truma, the Achronim have the same debate by Hesachadas by Anida. Is Hesachadas by Anida a problem only in that she might have become Tameh, but she wasn't paying attention, and therefore it's a problem of Tumah? Or is it, no, it's not that she might have become Tameh. Hesachadas is its own problem. That Sfira means that it demands her attention, that she needs to pay attention to it. So that's what the Achronim point out. It's significant nafkamina. One nafkamina is, let's say you know for sure that she's not Tameh. If somehow you know Bivados that nothing happened, it's just a question of she didn't think of this as days of, let's say she was watching the whole time, but not for Tuma anymore. It just happens to be that she was making sure she was very well aware of anything that was coming out of her body, but not because of Tuma. She thought she was Tameh anyway. She was just careful in general. She's very clean, very careful about anything that comes out of her body. So she knows that nothing came out of her body, but she had a Hesachadas. Another nafkamina might be, what happens if she has a Hesachadas during Shiva Nekiyim? Let's say it's day four of Shiva Nekiyim. She has a Hesachadas for half the day of day four. So if Hesachadas is a concern of Tumah, so the halacha is, if a woman sees Dam at some point during Shiva Nekiyim, it ruins the whole Shiva Nekiyim. She's got to start again. But if Hesachadas is just a Chisaron in Sfira, it's not a din Tumah. It's that day, she didn't count that day. It wasn't a Sfira, Shiva Nekiyim. So maybe it would only be Sosa that day. maybe she would just count day 5 as day 4 now and just continue after that, continuing to count. So that's a major discussion in the poskim. Poskim generally are machmir l'chadchila, not that a woman should be very careful not to have a hesach hadas. Now, what does it mean not to have a hesach hadas? It doesn't mean that for 7 days, for 24 hours straight, her mind has to be completely focused on nothing else. Forget about the children, forget about the husband, forget about whatever other work she has to do. Just completely focused on her nida status. No, it's ridiculous. What it means is that if she ever consciously thinks that she's not counting Shiva Nikim, she ever says, forget it, I'm not counting Shiva Nikim anymore. So that's Hesach Hadas. Why would she ever do that? Well, two possibilities. Maybe she's angry at her husband, which obviously not the best way to take out your anger, but she says, that's it, I'm not counting Shiva Nikim anymore. And then they make up and she's fine afterwards. Well, but she stopped counting Shiva Nikim. So that might be a problem with Hesach Hadas. Another more common, hopefully more common situation is she finds a stain. She finds a little bit of stain on a cloth, on right on the undergarment. So she's concerned that it's going to be that it's tame, and she immediately jumps to the conclusion that it's a problem. She immediately says, "Ah, this is tame. Forget about it." Then the husband comes home 2 hours later, and she says, "Ah, the Shiva Nikiyim are ruined." So the husband says, "Can I see the cloth, bedika cloth?" And he looks at the cloth. He says, "No, we should really ask the rabbi. We should really see if this is." And the rabbi says, "No, that's not tame. That's fine." But in her mind, she was vaday tame. So if that itself is a hesach hadas. So that itself may become a self fulfilling prophecy, because in her mind it was vaday tame. So now she becomes tame. So that's what they recommend, that when a woman does a bedika, she should always be cautiously optimistic. She says, until we clarify, she should never have completely in her mind that it's vaday, that it's Vaday Tame. Now, yeah?
Would that apply by Sphira Somer as well, if you have a Hesach Hadas by Sphira? There's no Tumah concern.
So it seems that there's no there are several mitzvos in the Torah of Sfira. There's Sfira Shiva Nikiyim, there's Sfira Sa'omer, there's Sfira Shnos Hayovel. Sfira Sazav is what I'm talking, that's a woman, is Zava. Each of the mitzvos of Sfira seem to have their own gedarim, though. It does not seem that there's any din of Hesach Hadas by Sfira Sa'omer. Sfira Sa'omer is a maisa mitzvah you do once a day. To do a mice of Sfira, you count the Sfira. What about by Shiva Nikiyim? Let's say a woman, does a woman have to say Hayom Yom Rishon the Shiva Nikiyim Hayom? So there was such a comment that who was it? Nadav Yehuda quotes from, I'm forgetting for a second, I'm slipping my mind. There was such a comment that one of the Rishonim had, that you have to count Hayom Yom Rishon the Shiva Nikiyim Hayom Yom Sheni the Shiva Nikiyim. So Nadav Yehuda says he was such a wonderful person that Oiv Mitzvos Lo Yisrael mitzvahs, that he loved mitzvahs so much he made up his own mitzvah of counting Shem Nikim, but there's no concept of why it's Sfira. So Elamai, there are different gedarim for each mitzvah of Sfira. Not clear why. Sefer HaKinuch points out Kach Mukablanu, we have a Kabbalah that there's a different gedarim. Not clear why, but there is this din of Hesach Hadas. Now the question is, what is this din of Hesach Hadas? In Shevet Alevi, Rav Osner writes that B'dievet, certainly he says, if a woman says that she was Nisya'ish from the Shiva Nikiyim, but she was still wearing Levenim, she was still wearing white undergarments the whole time, that would have caught any dam, so she knows for sure she's not Tameh, he thinks B'dievet we could be Mekel. That the Hesach Hadas alone is not going to ruin it, that it's only Hesach Hadas Michshash Tuma, and if she's still wearing white, so then there is no Chashash Tuma. So that's one important discussion over here. The other important discussion is Ibur Tzura. What does it mean, Ibur Tzura? So we pointed out that all the Rishonim seem to say, the Rashi and the Balei Tosfos, that Ibur Tzura just means you let it go overnight. You let it wait until the next morning. There is a discussion in the Rishonim. There is a halacha called Nosin Tam Lufgam, that if a person cooks something not kosher in a pot of food, and then you cook something kosher in that same pot afterwards, even after you cleaned out the pot, so the kosher food has now become non-kosher. It's a trefa pot, right? What if you cook non-kosher in the pot, then you wait 24 hours? And then after waiting 24 hours, you then cook kosher in the pot. So b'dieved, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to use the pot. You're supposed to kosher the pot. But b'dieved, if you did it, the food you cooked in it is kosher. It's perfectly fine, because we assume that the tam becomes tam pagum in the dofne akadera, in the walls of the pot. So there is a question. At what point does that happen? When does it become a tam pagum in the walls of the kadera? Rabbeinu Tam is a gevaldik chiddush in Maseches Avod Zara. The Baal Yatos Kor Rabbeinu Tam writes that nosin tam lufgam happens when it went overnight. when it stayed overnight. It doesn't have to be 24 hours. If you cooked last night, and now by this morning, already less than 24 hours later, it becomes a tam pogum. What if I cook right now by 8 o'clock tonight, which is way more time than between last night and this morning, is that going to be a tam? No. It has to dafka be overnight. So Rabbeinu Tam writes that in the name of Kol Rabu Seinu, that the Linas Laila is Pogemes and not a certain amount of time. It's Linas Laila. And his Raya is, or a Zecher Ledover from our Sugya, that what's called Ibur Tzura of the meat, Ibur Tzura overnight. It could be all day long and it's not going to be called Ibur Tzura, but you leave it overnight and all of a sudden you're allowed to take this Basar Kachim and be mostly the base of Srefa and you're allowed to burn it. So if Kal V'chomer, if the food itself has an Ibur Tzura, the actual food has Ibur Tzura overnight, so for sure the Tam that's trapped in the Dofnei Akadera should for sure have Ibur Tzura overnight. So the Aracham explains, what's he talking about? What does Ibur Tzura have to do with Nosin Tam of Gam? So he says the idea of the Pagam is not measured by how much the food has physically been ruined. Nosin Tam of Gam is not so much how bad it actually tastes. Nosin Tam of Gam is more about what the person's attitude toward it is. Meaning, will a person be like, oh, that's gross, that's from yesterday. So generally speaking, food from yesterday, people are much more hesitant about eating than food from today. Person cooks something in the morning, could leave it out of the fridge, on the counter, all day long. Oh, it's today, it's fresh. But if you wake up the next morning and you only slept 4 hours the night before, you just made it 4.5 hours ago, oh, it's from yesterday, gross, we left it out all night. What's the difference? For whatever reason, people have a bug in their head that overnight is something that you want to stay away from. So that's the definition of Ibur Tzura when it comes, so obviously when it comes to Basar Kachim, it's not going to be Yosin Tam Lefgam, we're not going to say that an actual piece of Nevela becomes not Roy Lachila, but it's Ibur Tzura at least. It loses that appeal of fresh meat. So the same is true when it comes to Tam Pogum and the Dofnei Akedera. That is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. We don't pass them like that. We as a sniff lahakel, the Rama says you can use the Rabbeinu Tam as a sniff lahakel, but we don't really pass like that. We pass like the Shita of the Ri that you need dafka 24 hours. You need me ace la ace. In the Chuvas of the Rav Pa'alim, he had a case of two spoons. One was two fleshik spoons. One was Bas Yoma, one was Eina Bas Yoma, that looked exactly like each other, and one of them was used to stir milk in a pot on a fire. So one of these spoons was used just last night for fleishigs, and the other one was used more than 24 hours ago for fleishigs. And now this morning, someone stirs milk in a pot with it. So he thought maybe you could say svek sveka. That suffek maybe use the one that's in the basyom, and therefore it's not a problem. And even if you use the one that was used just last night, maybe hold like Rabbeinu Tam that it was overnight, so it's already tam pogum. So he says, if he doesn't say it explicitly, but he pretty much implies, if I were Ashkenazic, I would go with that, because the Rama says you could rely on it as a snif lahakel, maybe even to be mitzarif to a svek sveka. But the Rav Palum was not Ashkenazic, he wasn't so excited about going. He said maybe have some meruba, if it's an ani, something like that, maybe you can go with it for that. The other place this idea of Ibur Tzura comes up, the post can discuss in the context of eating meat during the 9 days, that if it's a din in simcha, it could be that only fresh meat has a din of simcha, but something that had already had Ibur Tzura that's left overnight, that's part of the discussion of eating Shabbos leftovers during Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. One of the considerations is that there is Ibur Tzura, so maybe that would be a consideration. Okay, let's see the third answer now. So the third approach, again, we're still trying to explain this Mishnah. The Mishnah had said in Maseches Trumos that if you take truma that's tameh, you plant it in the ground, whatever grows from that is no longer tameh, but you're not allowed to eat it. So Kisalik Ravin Amr l'shmeite kame d'Rabbi Yirmiyah va'amar bavloi tipshoi mishum d'yasi ba'ar d'chashucha amrisun shmeite d'machashku. And he said these foolish Babylonians, they told him the answer that was given by the others, he said these foolish Babylonians, because they live in a dark land, they say ridiculous things. So it sounds like a pretty harsh criticism. There's a tshuva in the Chavos Yair where some sensitive soul asked the Chavos Yair, he says, I don't understand, I thought divrei chacham b'nachas nishma'im, that the chacham are always supposed to speak nicely and that you're always supposed to be gentle. He says, what's all this the insults, the chachamim? He's saying this, he sounds like he's sleeping when he's saying this, he lives in a dark land, so he says all these dark things. So the Chavos Yair has a nice list of all the insults in Shas, and he shows that none of them are insults. They're all just wonderful compliments. They're all saying the nicest things. It's all roses. The Chavis Yair says Simul Kuflin Beis and Shuvas Chavis Yair. He says, what's going on? The Gemara in the Dharma says Rabbi Zero called the Gemara in the Dharma, our Gemara, that Rabbi Zero called Bavliim Tipshim, that he called them morons. So he says, no, that was Rabbi Zero's way of showing his Chavivus Eretz Yisrael, that the smartest people in the world, because Eretz Yisrael is Machkim and Eretz Yisrael is so special, he would say that the smartest people in the world is Ki'ilu, they're morons, because they don't have that great Chachma of Eretz Yisrael. But Chas V'Shalom, he wasn't actually saying that there's anything wrong with them. But okay, so he says, so the Gemara has this comment that Babylonians, they don't know what they're talking about, they live in a dark land. It's somewhat odd, the Achronim discuss, considering the way that they speak about the Chachamim from Bavel, that when you have a Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, we always paskin like the Bavli. So the Ritva quotes a tshuva from the Rambam. It's really from the Rambam's father, in the tshuva that it's miyuchas to Maimon, Avia Rambam, that it's generational. It depends which generation you're talking about. That in the earlier generations, where there was a lot of persecution and they had a lot of trouble, they didn't have the Harchavas Hadas that they had in Eretz Yisrael in Bavel. And therefore, that's when we talk about the Arad HaChashucha. And that's what it means, in a darkened land, that there were all these gezeros against them. They couldn't even, some say literally it was dark. They weren't, we had gezeros, they weren't allowed to light candles. It was mamish, they were living in darkness. So we had all sorts of gezeros, that's where, but by the time Ravina and Ravashi were Messiah in the Talmud, by the time that they finished up the Talmud Bavli, well then everything was much better. Then we were able to see much more clearly, then it was much lighter, and then in Bavel, the learning was much stronger than it was in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why we passed like the Talmud Bavli against the Talmud Yerushalmi. The other reason we passed like the Bavli against Yerushalmi, the Rishonim quote, is that the Yerushalmi, we have all these Girsa problems. There are problems with the Girsas. We don't know what it says half the time. Whereas the Bavli, we do know what it says. Though the truth is, that's probably because, the Rishonim already pointed, that's probably because, in general, which Rishonim do we have real Girsa problems with? The Rishonim that we didn't have for very long. You have Mordechai, they had people weren't learning it so much. You have Girsa problems with things that aren't learned. When things are learned a lot, so people fix it. People constantly correct the Girsas. So Yerushalmi just wasn't learned as much as Bavli. That's why probably there are all these Girsa problems. Now, why wasn't it learned as much? So that's what some of the Achronim suggest. Minchas Alaz suggest it wasn't learned as much because they were so smart in Eretz Yisrael that they wrote in such a cryptic fashion. They all wrote like the Vilna Gaon wrote, you know, with like a word here, and you're supposed to have to figure it out. So people couldn't learn it. It was just too difficult to learn. Talmud Bavli expresses it. It's much more expressive. So people were able to learn. Mele were able to fix all the Gersos. And Mele always became more accurate. We were able to paskin like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. So anyway, so he said he doesn't like this answer. Lo shmiluchu hadar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish b'shrein to Rav Oshia. Don't you know what Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said in the name of Rav Oshia? Me'achag shenitmu. If you have the waters that you want to do the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos with, that became Tamei, Hishikon v'achar kach hikdishon tahorin. If you did a shaka with them, you connected these waters to waters of a mikveh. Water, you can't do tevila on water to be metahorin. You do a shaka. You connect it to mikveh waters, and then it becomes tahor. So if you were metahorin first, and then you were makdashit, it's tahor. But hikdishon v'achar kach hishikon tamein. But if you did it the reverse, you were makdashit first, then you did a shaka, it's going to be tamei. So michti, zriya ninhu. When you do a shaka, that is zriya. That's the same thing as planting. Meaning what you would do to a plant, to plant life, to be matara, would be to plant it. With water, it would be to connect it to a mikvah. It's the same thing, though. They're parallel. So mali yishikan v'achach yikdishan, mali yikdishan v'achach yishikan. Why does it make a difference whether you do the zriya after it becomes kadosh, before it becomes kadosh? Why is it a problem to be makdashit and then to be to do the ashaka? So alma ein zriya lahegdish. Must be that once something is kadosh, planting it is not going to help, that it doesn't work anymore. So achanami ein zriya l'truma. If that's true of hegdish, it's true of truma as well. So if you have these plantings of truma that are tameh, so you want to be mitar them by planting them in the ground? No, it doesn't work. You see by the water that it doesn't work. It doesn't work here either. Yes, Rav Dimi v'kamer l'lash maitas. Rav Dimi was saying this over. Amle abayi hikdishon b'kli kamar. Hikdishon b'kli kamar. Avul bepeh lo avid rabbanan maila. Now this chumrah, meaning the essential answer was, this is a chumrah that we have a maila that we make by kodesh and by truma, that when it comes to kodesh, we're extra machmir, that planting it is not going to help, that it's not going to work. So he says, yeah, that's only when you were makdish it bekli, when you were makdish it by putting into a kli sharis or something. But to just say that it's kadosh, maybe we're not going to be so machmir on a kedusha that is gotten only by verbalizing kedusha. Odin penami of Rabban Mala, or maybe no. Maybe even when the kedusha came about only by verbalizing it, would still be so machmir. Amalei zulo shamati, says, I'm not sure, but kayotzi ba shamati, I heard something similar. Dam Rabbi Vo, am Rabbi Yochanan. Anavim, and this is why we quote this whole Gemara, because now we finally get to bring in Rabbi Yochanan. Anavim shenitmu, if you have grapes that became tamei, dorchan ve'achar kach hikdishan tahorim, if you first trample on them and then you makdish them, they're tahor. But hikdishan ve'achar kach dorchan tamei, and if you are makdish them first and then you crush them, they're going to be tamei. Who these grapes only became kadosh through kedushas peh because they're truma. So truma is made with kedushas peh. And you still see that they made this chumrah that you can't do it in the reverse order. So Rav Yosef, anavim kamrit, hacha banavim shel truma askinan, the kedushas peh ditu kedushas kli damya. By truma there only is kedushas peh. So by truma, of course, we're going to be machmir because kedushas peh is like the equivalent of kedushas kli by kachim, because it's the highest level of kedusha you can give to truma. It's the only way you could be makdish truma. Avlahani debayi kli, but the water that you're going to use for the nisach hamayim normally requires kedushas kli. Bepelo of the rabban malam. Maybe the rabban aren't going to be so machmir by when you do kedushas peh. So now the gemara just asks a side point. We just quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Darchan vafilu tuva. Rabbi Yochanan says you could take these tamei grapes and crush them. Sounds like no matter how many, you can crush as many as you want. It's all going to be fine. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan hold an unlimited quantity of tamei grapes can be crushed and it's going to take away the tuma problem? Vam Rabbi Yochanan nam shenitmu darchan pachas mikabeitza. Didn't we learn in yesterday's daf? Rabbi Yochanan says you can only do less than a kabeitza at a time. So two possible answers. Maybe that's what he means over here also, less than a kibetz at a time. Over there, you have to do less than a kibetz because the grapes themselves were a sheni l'tuma, so they could be metame the liquid. Over here, the grapes are only a shlishi b'tuma, so they're not going to be metame the liquid anyway. That's why you could do even more than a kibetz at a time. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get through the next three chumras of kachim tomorrow, and then on to matzah.